From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Jordan continues its tough talk following a pilot's execution at the hands of Islamic State. Jordan's King Abdullah Wednesday reaffirmed his intention to take tough action against Islamic State militants following the group's gruesome execution of a Jordanian pilot. An online video showed the pilot burned alive in a cage after his capture during a mission over Syria. The murder prompted Jordanian authorities to execute two Iraqi militants on death row. Concerns over the pilot's fate led the United Arab Emirates to suspend its participation in the 60-nation U.S.-led coalition air campaign fighting IS. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the UAE can still contribute in other ways.
Whether it's providing humanitarian assistance to those who've been displaced by ISIL's violence, or helping us in the fight against foreign fighters, or working to try to counter the messaging from ISIL that attempts to radicalize people all across the globe, but there's still and continues to be an important role for the United Arab Emirates to play in this broad international coalition.
Unnamed U.S. officials said the UAE suspended its air participation shortly after the Jordanian pilot's plane went down in December. The number of reported Ebola cases has gone up for the first time this year in the three hardest-hit West African countries. The World Health Organization says 124 new cases were reported in the week ending February 1st in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. The WHO said there is an urgent need to end the resurgent outbreak before the wet season begins and access to remote areas becomes more difficult. Since the beginning of the Ebola outbreak about a year ago, there have been almost 22,500 reported cases in all three countries, nearly 9,000 deaths. Meanwhile, the French press agency says Sierra Leone has announced it will reopen its schools March 30th. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry meets in Kiev Thursday with Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko, who is making a fresh appeal for Western weapons to help fight pro-Russian separatists. The Obama administration has so far provided only non-lethal aid. U.S. Defense Secretary-designate Ashton Carter told U.S. lawmakers Wednesday he would prefer supplying such lethal assistance to Kiev.
I very much incline in that direction, Mr. Chairman, because I think we need to support the Ukrainians in defending themselves. The nature of those arms I can't say right now because I don't have conferred with our military leaders or Ukrainian leaders, but I incline in the direction of providing them with arms, including to get to what I'm sure your question is, lethal arms.
France and Germany currently oppose such aid. Carter also said economic and political pressure on Moscow should remain the centerpiece of U.S. policy toward Ukraine and Russia. Two other U.S. officials will be in Europe this week. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden joins the German chancellor for talks with Ukraine's leader. Defense Secretary Hagel confers with NATO leaders in Brussels. The diplomatic push comes as fighting rages in the self-declared Russian-speaking separatist regions of Donetsk and Luhansk. Greece's new prime minister, Alexis Tsipras, said Wednesday he's optimistic his country can convince its international lenders to ease the terms on Athens' massive bailouts. Mr. Tsipras says his government has a program that is realistic and does not pose a threat to Europe. He says his government seeks dialogue to reach a four-year reform plan to boost the struggling Greek economy. The new leader said his country respects EU financial rules but believes the tough austerity measures demanded by the country's creditors in exchange for nearly $300 billion in loans needs to be changed. An Egyptian court sentenced 230 activists, including top liberal campaigner Ahmed Doumit, to life in prison Wednesday for taking part in deadly clashes during the country's 2011 uprising against ousted President Hosni Mubarak. The case is connected to clashes between protesters and security forces near Cairo's Tahrir Square in December 2011 that left more than 40 dead. Zimbabwe's 90-year-old president, Robert Mugabe, fell down a staircase Wednesday as he left the podium following a speech. There was no indication whether or not he was hurt. Security agents quickly rounded up journalists covering the event and ordered them to delete all pictures of Mr. Mugabe's fall. The United Nations has threatened to withdraw support for a planned Democratic Republic of Congo military offensive against Rwandan rebels in the east unless the government removes two generals accused of human rights abuses by the end of next week. A senior UN official says the generals, Bruno Mandevu and Fall Sikabwe, are listed as red generals for heavy involvement in massive violations. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.